Good morning, everyone. Good morning. You are all very welcome to St. Stephen's Green Unitarian Church. Welcome to everyone who is watching and listening on our webcam. And welcome to you if you are listening to us on our recordings page on the website. My name is Gavin Byrne. I'm a member of this congregation and a ministry student with the Unitarian College. We have a tradition of an open pulpit where members of the congregation are given the opportunity to lead a service. Our opening words. Today, we will explore and celebrate music, that musical spark of the divine which we find throughout creation. By our presence here with one another, hearing the harmony that is the music of the spheres, may some of the harshness and discord of our human lives be transmuted into music. A new song in our hearts may there be, and a new harmony in our being, so that we shall return to our several duties with fresh courage and with eagerness and with rejoicing. Amen. And we now light our chalice, which is lit everywhere Unitarians gather in prayer, celebration, searching, and love. This sacred space which is gifted to us is now alive with friendship, song, poetry, and the wisdom of many souls. May we be reminded here of our highest aspirations and be inspired to bring our gifts of love and service to the altar of humanity. May we know once again that we are not isolated beings, but connected in mystery and miracle to the universe, to this community, and to each other. Amen. And our first hymn this morning is number 39, Bring, O Morn, Thy Music. Let us pray. Holy Mother, Father, Creator of the universe, energy of creation, endless mystery of life, you are the music that sounded before our world was born, sound and silence woven throughout the ages, far beyond the most profound wisdom humanity has been ever able to touch. Be with us. Deepen our willingness to live without certainty, to take the risks of living on the edges of our creativity, to step beyond the boundaries of possibility and hope. Help us always to remember that we are in our essence the magic of star stuff, that we are kin to all that is and was and may yet come to be. Teach us to temper our impatience, to restrain our conviction that what we do makes a difference, that even our smallest act can contribute to the good of a greater whole. Be with me in my uncertainties. Rejoice with my small triumphs. Amen. And our first reading would now be read by Paul.
Morning, all. This book I'm going to read from is called Freedom Within, and it's probably overwritten, but it's by a man called Jerry Hussey, who is described as a performance psychologist. Now, first of all, I have to have an apology, and the apology is to anybody in the honourable trade of construction and building, in case they pick up a wrong vibe from this particular reading. And it's about, basically, about listening and not jumping to conclusions and making judgments without listening to what is the underlying cause of something that has happened. So Jerry Hussey says, a number of years ago, I was getting some building work done in my house. At the time, it looked like the builder had done a great job, but very shortly afterwards, after the work was completed, some issues began to appear. Initially, I wasn't too upset, because the issues weren't anything major. However, I soon realized that it mightn't be as simple as I expected. The builder wasn't answering my calls, and the more I called, the more frustrated I became. When I couldn't get hold of him, I asked friends what they thought. What should I do? The dominant opinion was, oh, they've got the money and now they're gone. You won't see them again. It was a narrative I was hearing everywhere. And like all narratives, the more we hear it, the more we believe it, even if we haven't gone to the trouble to check the facts. The more I heard these stories, the more I began to believe them. Each time I called the builder and didn't receive a call back, I was getting more and more angry, and as my anger increased, so too did the narrative about the builder. He was a cowboy, he was a crook, a criminal, and he was disrespecting me. And my frustration and anger were no longer caused by a few small issues to do with the building work. When I finally got to speak to the builder, my anger was at peak level, and as soon as he answered, I decided to follow the advice in my head and give him a piece of my mind. Before he had time to speak, I unloaded my anger on him and told him that he had treated me unfairly, that he was a criminal and a crook. I spent the first few minutes unloading, unleashing my anger and frustration at him. I will never forget the silence when I'd finished speaking. I was waiting for some kind of fight. I was committed to a fight, so I asked him, "Are you there?" Quietly and gently, he said, "Yes, I am." And for the first time on the call, I started to listen. And the moment I did so, I knew I was wrong. I heard something in his voice that immediately cut through the nonsense in my head. "I am here," he said. "I'm sorry, Jerry, there's nothing I can do about it. My wife has been very ill for the last few months. She's passing away, and I have spent the last 2 weeks sitting by her bedside. She's 36. We've two young kids, and I've no idea how I'm going to cope without her. I'm sorry for the problems. I can't be there. I need to be there with my wife and children." At that moment, I learned one of the greatest lessons of my life. I learned how fast I could be to judge people and situations without any evidence and without taking the time to go to the bottom of the issue or to fact check the story I had allowed to build in my head. Had I maintained a sense of perspective and a sense of focus, I would have asked the builder, when eventually I spoke with him, if everything was okay, because I had been unable to reach him. I would have waited for the facts. And by starting the conversation with a different question, I might have been able to help someone in a very vulnerable state. Jerry Hussey, The Freedom Within. Thank you.
So, our children and young people's story. And today the story is called The Bear and the Strange Thing. And it was written by David Litchfield. Josh is going to help me as usual. One day in the forest, a young bear cub went exploring and found something he'd never seen before. What could this strange thing be, he thought. Shyly, he touched it with his stubby paws. The strange thing made an awful sound. So the bear left. But the next day, he came back. And the day after that, too. And for days and weeks and months and years, until eventually, the sounds that came from the strange thing were beautiful. And the bear had grown big and strong and grisly. When the bear played, he felt so happy. The sounds took him away from the forest, and he dreamed of strange and wonderful lands. It wasn't long before the other bears in the forest were drawn to the clearing. Every night, a crowd gathered to listen to the magical melodies coming from the bear and the strange thing. Then one night, a girl and her father came across the clearing, drawn by the sounds the bear was making. And the sounds it made, they told the bear that the strange thing was a piano, and the sounds it made was music. Come to the city with us, they said. There is lots of music there. You can play grand pianos in front of hundreds of people and hear sounds so beautiful, they will make your fur stand on end. Now, the bear knew that if he left the forest, the other bears would be very sad. But he longed to explore the world beyond the woods, to hear more and more beautiful music, and to play bigger and bigger venues than before. So before long, the bear's name was up in big bright lights in the big, bright city. He sold out concerts in grand theatres. Every night he performed with such passion and such grace to wild applause and standing ovations and huge admiration. The bear recorded albums that went platinum. He was interviewed for magazines, he won awards. He had hundreds and thousands of followers on social media. He met new people every day and created headlines wherever he went. The city was everything he had hoped it would be. But deep down, something tugged at the bear's heart. He had fame, he had awards, and all of the most beautiful music in the world. But he missed his forest. He missed his old friends. He missed his home. So, the bear decided to go back. He speedily crossed the river and excitedly pounded into the forest. He couldn't wait to tell his friends about his time in the city. But when the bear reached the familiar clearing, it was empty. No piano, no bears, no anything. The bear started to worry that his friends had forgotten him, or they were angry that he had left them behind. Then a friend stepped into the clearing. "Hello," cried the bear. "I'm back. I've missed you all so much." Without saying a word, the gray bear ran back into the trees. "Wait," cried the bear. "I'm sorry I left." But his bear just kept running. The bear stumbled after him, moving deeper and deeper into the forest until he saw something that made his fur stand on edge. For the bear had not been forgotten. His friends weren't angry. They were proud. The bear realized that no matter where he went or what he did, they would always be there watching from afar. And they even kept the piano safe in the shade, ready for his return. So after the bear told his friends about his life in the city and the many concerts he played, he sat down to play once more. But this time, for the most important audience of all. Amen. And now we will sing together hymn number 44, "We Sing of Golden Mornings." My reading this morning is called The Song of the Universe by Manish Mishra Marzetti. For each child that's born, a morning star rises and sings to the universe who we are. Listen carefully. Can you hear the song? The one sung for you when you were born. The song sung by the cosmos in motion, rejoicing at your life. You the result, you the outcome, you the celebration. Listen carefully. Can you hear it still? A song of possibility, a reminder that we still have time to be who and what we need to be. Listen carefully. The vast expanse echoes a recognition that it's not always easy. Possibilities can be hard to pursue. Roads not taken, wrong turns, destinations that disappoint. Through this, the song persists. The universe sings no less because time and space wear us thin. The music calls us to recognize our limitations, to recognize that the song is best sung with others. Here, in community, bringing alive that most primordial and original impulse, the desire to sing to the universe who we are, to celebrate and share our lives with others. Our meditation today is about gratitude for all the blessings we have received. And I invite you to find a comfortable position, take a couple of deep breaths, and relax all of your muscles. Close your eyes if you want, or gaze upwards and imagine the roof has lifted to reveal the beautiful summer sky above. May we look with gratitude upon this day for the beauty of the world, for the first radiance of dawn and the last smoldering glow of sunset. Let us be thankful for physical joys, for hills to climb and hard work to do, for music that lifts our hearts in one breath, for the hand clasp of a friend, and for the gracious loveliness of children who remind us of the wonders of life. May we be thankful above all for the concern and love of those around us, for the exceeding bliss of the touch of the holy, which suddenly awakens our drowsy souls to the blessed awareness of the divine within us and within others. For all of this, and for all the countless other blessings present in our lives, let us be grateful.
Thank you.
I was once told to write and share what you love. Someone might appreciate it. So today I will share with you how I listen to music, and I call it sacred listening. Nietzsche said that without music, life would be a mistake. And when I read those words, I added a line to the book of Genesis. On the day before God began his week's work, God created music. And that evening, God put together a playlist, the perfect soundtrack for the week's work ahead. And then on that very first Monday morning, God put on the stereo, turned up the volume, and got to work. There must have been music surrounding the creation. The big blast that set in motion the stars and the planets, the multicolored gases that collided and brought light out of darkness. The piece I played there for the meditation was Spiegel in Spiegel by Arvo Pärt, and it was written in 1978. It means mirror in mirror, or infinity mirror, which produces an infinity of images. The simplicity of that music is just baffling, and listening to it, I can see the stars in the heavens appearing one by one, the universe not quite created yet, masses of gases of infinite colors, collaborating, growing, building mass, until after a couple of billion years, the moment of the explosion that set in motion the created world in which we all dwell. As Lao Tzu put it, there was something formless and perfect before the universe was born. It is serene, empty, solitary, unchanging, infinite, eternally present. It is the mother of the universe. Victor Hugo suggested that music can express those things we can't put into words. Music for me was always provided a soundtrack to what I was doing or what I was thinking, and perhaps for you too. Big operatic arias for housework, sacred choral music for contemplation, and Irish traditional music when drinking pints in the pub. Loud and fast music just for the hell of it, and also music to provide comfort in sorrow, but music as well to emphasize joy and happiness. This is the old Salieri looking over the score of Mozart's Serenade No. 10 in B flat. Now Salieri, as presented by Peter Schaeffer in his play Amadeus, is a bitter, envious man who hated Mozart. He could not understand how God would endow Mozart with such extraordinary gifts. Now, the story as told by Schaeffer is fiction. Historians of the great Amadeus Mozart dispute there was any such rivalry. But there is a passage in the play and the film which captures the paradox we often come across. Where does such beauty emanate from? Extraordinary. On the page it looked nothing. The beginning simple, almost comic. Just a pulse, bassoons and basset horns, like a rusty squeeze box. Then suddenly, high above it, an oboe, a single note, hanging there unwavering, till a clarinet took over and sweetened it into a phrase of such delight. This was no composition by a performing monkey. This was a music I'd never heard before, filled with such longing, such unfulfillable longing. It had me trembling. It seemed to me that I was hearing a voice of God. Now, the notion that God would gift such talent to anyone, particularly someone deemed unworthy, is a common theme in the great theatre of life. Like Salieri, we can be envious of another's talent, or not notice talent or beauty at all. And why would God choose such unworthy vessels to communicate beauty? I don't know. But the gift is not only in the creation of such beautiful sounds. The gift is the gift. The ability to hear and listen and respond. It is a gift to recognize and respond to its beauty. This is sacred listening. Music calms cattle at sheds in winter. It soothes a baby in its cot. And it even soothes noisy teenagers in a frantic youth project. They can become calm at the hearing of beautiful music. And I used to do that, and it generally worked. If one should desire to know whether a kingdom is well governed, if its morals are good or bad, the quality of its music will furnish the answer. So said Confucius. Of course, much beautiful music is religious music, often music composed for Christian liturgy, requiems, masses, worship, and prayer. Music and song fills mosques, temples, synagogues, and anywhere people gather in celebration, or in mourning, or in thanksgiving. This next piece is called Sanctus, by Irish composer Patrick Cassidy. Holy, 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 Lord God of hosts, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Carl Jenkins is a Welsh composer, and he recently celebrated his 80th birthday. Now, he's famous for his musical creation, Adiemus. Jenkins wrote his Armed Man as a plea for peace, a most beautiful work featuring orchestra and choir, and it draws on music from a number of musical traditions, including a 15th century Christian hymn and the Adhan, the Muslim call to prayer, and the Adhan sounds like this.
Allahu Akbar, Allah Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Shahadu an la ilaha illallah.
Allah is great. I bear witness that there is none worthy of worship except Allah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Come to prayer. Come to success. Incidentally, the performance of this work was not allowed to go ahead in the Anglican Christ Church Cathedral in New Zealand because of the inclusion of that piece. But I'm sure that we were happy to hear it sung here today. The Armed Man begins with the sound of soldiers marching into battle, with the drums of war and a fife playing a battle tune. The lyrics read, "The armed man is to be feared." Now, Jenkins wrote this work as his contribution to the universal appeal for nations to live in peace with each other. And he wrote it in 2000 to mark the transition from one millennium to the new one. And it reflects on the passing of the most war-torn and destructive century in human history. And it looks forward in hope to a more peaceful time. The Armed Man is dedicated to the victims of the Kosovo conflict. And that tragedy was unfolding just as he was writing it. Now, Jenkins describes himself as essentially Christian, but with a more universal understanding of what he calls the afterlife. He says there can only be one being. This is the being, or God, of all people: Hindu, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, spiritualist. This is Benedictus from The Armed Man. So what about hymn singing? You can discard this thought, but I wonder, is hymn singing to Protestants what the rosary is to Catholics? Now, both were used to teach. Charles Wesley's hymns taught theology to a largely uneducated population, and the rosary taught the scriptures to a similar uneducated and illiterate population. But hymns went beyond scripture for us dissenters. Hymn lyrics often articulate our nonconformist beliefs. Instead of "onward Christian soldiers," it's "forward to the ages." "The fire mist and the planet" celebrates science and discovery. It describes the wonders we encounter in the world, and it begins: "A fire mist and a planet, a crystal and a cell, a starfish and a sauron, and caves where ancients dwell. The sense of law and beauty, a face turned from the sod. Some call it evolution, and others call it God." And then there's poetry set to music, and this is where you encounter magic. For what was once two different substances, eons apart, unrelated, now become wedded. When a great poem collaborates with music, you have something quite special. Now, The Seal Lullaby was written by Rudyard Kipling in the early 1900s, and Eric Whitaker is a contemporary American composer and conductor. And the poem goes like this: "Oh, hush thee, my baby, the night is behind us, and black are the waters that sparkled so green. The moor, the moon, or the combers looks downward to find us, at rest in the hollows that rustle between. Where billow meets billow, there soft be thy pillow. A weary wee flippering curl at thy ease. The storm shall not wake thee, nor shark overtake thee, asleep in the arms of the slow swinging seas." And this is Whitaker's music to Kipling's The Seal Lullaby. And often, sacred listening leads to prayer or thanksgiving. God of instinct, who giveth both crocodile and seal the irrepressible need and desire to protect, care, and nourish their young. Protect and care and nourish me so that I may live an abundant life. The last piece I'm going to introduce to you is Finzi's Eclogue. Now, Gerald Finzi was an English composer who was born in 1901. The Eclogue is a piece that Finzi started writing in the 1920s, but he never got round to finishing it, and it wasn't heard until well after his death. I discovered Finzi as I was walking in the hills. I let my phone play a random selection of classical music on my phone. And as I was listening, I just had to know what it was I was hearing. So I gazed at the screen excitedly to find out. And I added all of Finzi's orchestral works to my playlist. And if there wasn't digital music, I would have worn the tape out. I found myself listening to Finzi as I travel the short journey every day to St. Vincent's Hospital to be with my father as he was dying. And it provided me with a soundtrack which accompanied my grief, my exhaustion, my love, and my memories. So for me, music is what the sacred sounds like. It draws on the emotions, it speaks of something beautiful, and accompanies us through life's triumphs, life's trials, but life's loveliest moments. There is so much of it yet to be discovered, and I recommend that you seek out some music that you've never heard before, and listen to what it might tell you about the sacred. Amen. And now our third hymn is number 36, When in Our Music, after which we'll have the collection. Our notices. Please join us for tea and coffee downstairs after the service. Thank you to everyone who has contributed to today's service, who prepared the church, played the music, welcomed us, read for us, and the coffee and tea makers who are getting the hall ready downstairs. The sacred reading workshops continues here in the church on Tuesday evenings from 7:30 to 9 p.m. The Wednesday meditation led by Pam happens every Wednesday here in the church, and it begins at 1 p.m., finishes at 1:30, and a cup of tea afterwards. And it's a quiet and inspiring time in the middle of your week. If you would like a list of the music I played during the address, I've got some printouts on the piano. You can pick one up. And before our final hymn, I wanted to acknowledge that a part of our city is on fire with racism and ignorance. It lives side by side, though, with deprivation and hopelessness. Jesus, our inspiration, our prophet, asked that we clothe and feed the poor and welcome the stranger. So let us turn our actions towards love and always do to others what we would have them do to us. Our final hymn is number 108, My Life Flows On in Endless Song. Our final blessing. As we have listened to the blessing of music, may we know this ending as more than a time of goodbye. May the warmth of this community and the memory of our chalice flame sustain our hearts and encourage our minds as we engage the blessings of life's challenges and joys. The service has ended. Your service has begun. Go in peace, go in joy, and go in love. Amen.